This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody. Well, welcome back. We have to get all that information out there to you. So thank you very much for being part of the show. My name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing, but this is the Your Living Brand Live show. Now, we come to you every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, and this show is all about what's your story. It's all about who you are, what do you do, why do you do it, who do you do it for, and most importantly, why do they care? You know, I want to give you guys some things to think about. I want to give you guys some things to chew on, and I want to answer some questions for you as well. I'm going to sit here, I'm going to give you some ideas over the next 10 or 15 minutes, and then every week I bring on a guest. And this week, we're going to have Karen Tischler on board, and she's got a company called Emily's Path. Now, we'll be talking to her in about 10 or 15 minutes, but you know, she has got some phenomenal things to talk to you about. Now, I want to go back to last week, and I want to thank people who actually took the time to put some questions into the Q&A last week. I'm sorry I missed them. It was my first week at K4HD. I wasn't ready for the questions, so I wanted to make sure that I answer those questions. Now, every week on my website, on the YourLivingBrand.live show, I'm going to be posting a recording of this show, and I'm going to be, if you post any questions whatsoever, I'm going to try to answer them on air now, and I'm also going to put the answers in the live chat on the radio as part of the podcast, so you'll be able to listen to the show, I'll answer the questions, and you know what, if you have any questions during the week, you know, go to the show website, go to YourLivingBrand.live. Pose a question there, and I'll do my best to answer it at the beginning of every show, and leave your name so I can give you a shout out. So I love when people ask me questions. I love answering things, and if I don't know, I'll look it up. You know, I'm not afraid to say, you know what, I'm not sure. That's a great question. Let me get back to you about it, because that's what things are all about. None of us are experts in everything. Nobody has all the answers, but my job is to find the right answers and get back to you. So that's what I'm going to do. So we had five great questions, and I'm going to go through them as best I can. And the first one is, how do you know if you have given people value? And that's a great, that is a great thing. It says, how do you know when you've given people value? The people know that they've gotten value when they come back. When people come back to you, when people ask you, say, hey, can you help me again? Can you order this for me again? Can you help me put this together? Can you get me a price on this? Can you, solve this problem for me? And when people come back time and time again, you know that you've given people value. And when people sit there and say, you know what, I'm not sure, can you help me figure this out? You know that you're a trusted person. You know that you're not a commodity. You're not somebody that everybody just says, well, can you give me another price? If you're somebody that people sit there and say, you know what, they really, really took care of me last time. You know, I really want to give this person another chance. I really want to work with this person again. And when they start saying, I'm not sure, but can we figure this out together? That's a great thing. You know, I've got a great question coming online. Yeah, what are we talking about today? That's a good question. When people place different value on things than others, when people place different value on things than others do, how do we know if they've gotten value? You're right, because everybody values things differently. You know, that is absolutely true. You know, we value things differently. How I value money, how you value money, how I value time, how you value time. It's, that's important. The thing is what people need to think is, it's not about you, it's about the person that you are working with, if they think it's valuable, if they come back to you, if they come back and if they tell other people about you, you know that you've created value. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel. It's about how people feel about you. That's your brand. Your brand is, you know, as Jeff Bezos from Amazon is fond of saying, your brand is what people think about you and what people say about you when you're not in the room. I'm paraphrasing. But if people understand who you are, what you do, why you do it, and how you're valuable to them, and they feel an emotional connection to you one way or the other, you know, I'm not talking about love, like coming up and giving you a hug and a kiss. I'm talking about the fact that they trust you. And if people trust you, and we're going to get to that, we're going to talk about influence through trust, hopefully in a few minutes. But, you know, when people trust you, it's an important thing. So let's go to the next question. Is, you know, so we need to ask why it costs the price. So if I remember correctly from last week, this question was about, you know what, we need to understand why does something cost what it costs? Because the comment that I made was just because it's cheaper doesn't mean it's valuable. You know, just because somebody's the lowest price doesn't mean that's the one that you should go with. You should go with the people that you feel comfortable dealing with. You should go with the people that you know are going to take care of you. You should go with the people that are going to, you know, be there if there's a problem and are going to take care of things for you. And all that is built into the price. So it's understanding that, you know, price and value are not equated. Just because something is cheap doesn't mean that there's value there. And the last question I want to go to before we go into some different ideas is lots of people talk about brand. Is this new or is this something that else, you know, been called something else? Brand is something that's been with us forever. And brand is not a logo. You know, brand is not a logo. Brand is not a color scheme. Brand is not a word on a page. Those are placements for the brand. Those are things that remind you of the brand. Those are the things that help with reach and recall. Your brand is who you are. It's what you believe and why you believe it and why people should care about you. It's, you know, as I said before, it's what people say about you when you're not in the room. It's probably the best way to think about your brand. It's, you know, what you're going to stand for, what you're going to stand against. And those are important things. So let's sit back and let's think about those things in the terms of what I really want to talk about today was influence through trust. And influence through trust is a big deal. You know, if people don't trust you, they're not going to do business with you. If people don't believe that you are working in their best interest, you know, they may buy from you once. They may buy your service once. They might sit there and say, you know what? They're cheap. Let's try it out. What's the worst that can happen? But if you don't give them a great experience, if you don't give them reason to believe that you're adding value, if you don't give them reason to believe that you're going to take care of them and do things that's in their best interest and give them a positive experience, they're not going to come back. And whether you know you look at this from a sales point of view or from a marketing point of view, you need to build trust. All businesses need to build promise. You need to say what you do and do what you say. Because the problem is there's too many companies that say, you know what, we have number one customer service. And then I call them up. And guess what? I'm on hold for 30 minutes. If you're going to be on hold for 30 minutes, how can you profess to having great customer service? If I'm having to chase through voicemail hell, or if I send an email and it's never responded to, or you know the answer that I get is, well, we can't do anything about it, how can you say that you have great customer service? So why would you say that in the first place? Why would you set yourself up for failure? Why would you say things that you can't stand behind? And that's what your marketing needs to be. Your marketing needs to believe what you believe and needs to do what you actually can do. And so marketing people and, you know, CEOs and branders and everything need to sit down and say, what do we truly, really do? What are we really good at? What can we tell people that we can actually stand behind and say, you know what? If we say we're going to be there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every Tuesday, we know without fail we can be there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every Tuesday. You know, we need to be able to understand, can operations live up to the promises of sales and marketing? And that's where trust is really built. It's built on consistency, and it's not doing it once. It's not doing it twice. It's not doing it three times. It's doing it every single time. And whether those promises are on your website or through your social media or through your trade shows or through your direct mail or your direct marketing and your email campaigns, your newsletters, whatever, the message and the marketing needs to be consistent. And that's how trust is built. So let's take a break. Let's take a break for a minute. When I come back, I'm going to bring Karen on and we'll go from there.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The You're Living Brand show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the You're Living Brand.live show.
Sorry, everybody. We seem to be having a little bit of technical difficulties today, but you know what? We're going to work through it. You know, this is Karen Tischler. Karen's got a company, and she is founder of an organization called Emily's Path. And Emily's Path is all about helping women come back to work. You know, it's a neat organization that sits there and works with, you know, mothers that have been out, you know, been at home, and they've been working, and they've been, you know, been doing incredible things, but brings them back into the workforce in a meaningful way. You know, it's not taking somebody that was a CEO of an organization and making sure that they got a job, you know, running a line cook on a fast food. It's bringing them back to the level that they were at and allowing them to be fulfilled and also to be relevant within the companies that they work for. So Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ben, for having me on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. You know what? It is great having you on. We've had some great conversations over coffee. We've had some great conversations online. And I wanted to introduce you to my audience because, you know what? What you're doing locally is amazing. And, you know, the reach that you're having, I mean, the fact that, you know, and we'll talk about it, is the reach that you're getting in on the East Coast and the reason, you know, the relationships that you're building in Europe. There's some amazing things happening, and I think there's going to be a real great groundswell behind this. So let's get into this. This show is all about what's your story. So tell me about, you know, what was the impetus behind this? What are you doing now, and what's your vision?
Okay. So basically, it started last year, sort of in the spring, when I happened to be talking to quite a lot of mothers who had been out of the workforce for a long period of time, who were very well educated, and prior to going out of the workforce, they were on a medium or, you know, mid or senior level management. And their children were older now, and they really wanted to go back, but they started to realize that a lot of the people they were talking to were saying, well, you could start at an entry-level position, because really what happened was they didn't value at all any experience they had prior to being out of the workforce, nor was the actual time while they were outside of the workforce valued in any way. And so what I started doing was I was doing some research then to try and better understand if in different countries there are already different programs out there, if they are basically best practices. And so I spent the last 6 months looking at best practices in Europe, in North America, and I was interviewing people when I was over in Europe to better understand what we can learn and what is working there as well. The reason why I am so passionate about it is after I was a management consultant and I was the head of the competitive intelligence department, I was myself a mom at home for more than 10 years.
Right.
And basically, if it hadn't been for the opportunity to work for as a researcher for Patricia Susan Jackson, the world leading expert on profound giftedness and psychotherapist, author, movie producer, and the founder of the Damon Institute for the Highly Gifted, I would be in exactly the same position. So I feel very, very strongly helping these mothers. And basically, I am, as you had mentioned, in the beginning, I've created a support Facebook group for the mothers, because one of the two main things in my research that I found that they struggle with is that they haven't been in business settings, so they have a relatively low self-confidence in business setting. And the other thing is they don't really have a lot of business networks left.
Right.
And in some cases, if they've been out of the work for 10 years, they might not have used LinkedIn, for example. So
yeah, technology would be a little bit different 10 years ago than it was today.
Exactly. So I'm basically working with multiple constituencies. And
right.
So first one is really creating a support network for the mothers, online as well as offline. And so, for example, next week we will have our first offline meeting, and it will be branded under LinkedIn Local Mothers Back to Work. And the reason really is that LinkedIn Local is an amazing movement on LinkedIn created by Anna McAfee in Australia.
Right.
And what it does is allows to meet the people behind the social media profiles. And that's really what I want to do, is create this community for the mothers online as well as offline. And so that's the one part. The second part, and as you had mentioned, I'm actively communicating with senior management in corporations as well as nonprofit organizations that focus on helping mothers across British Columbia as well as in other parts of Canada, to really educate these leaders how critical it is to help these mothers return back to work. And I had the opportunity to meet Carol Fishman Cohen, who is the pioneer of iRelaunch, which is basically helping mothers go back to work in the US. And she has done this now for more than 10 years. She has written a book, a TED Talk, as well as a Harvard Business Review article, which is called The 40-Year-Old Intern. And basically, what Carol has been able to do is talk to the corporate leaders and set up returnships for these mothers. So they might be 6 weeks long, they might be 12 weeks long. And so these mothers go back to work, learn maybe new technology or new things that might not have been there prior to them leaving, and then also can basically themselves check out if that is the type of environment, the type of work they really would like to go back to. And in the majority of the cases, these women will then actually be taken over on a permanent basis.
Right.
And I know that in Canada, these returnships already exist. In Toronto, I talked to a senior vice president at the RBC Bank last week, and he told me that they were just starting returnships in Toronto. IBM has a tech reentry program in Toronto, as well as the Bay Street on the financial services. So I feel very strongly that that is something that could be also created here in British Columbia. And I will be talking with the CEO of BC Tech, Jill Tipping, in the next weeks to see how I can support her to educate more corporations within British Columbia to hire returners.
Yeah, you just gave me a ton of information, Karen. I promise my listeners will get all those emails and websites to people, you know, as part of the show notes, so they have the ability to look at that. Because, you know, you just gave them an incredible amount of information of just different places they can just go looking for, you know, for a first shot. You know, the returnship programs, I mean, this makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I'm familiar with internships. You know, you sit there and you get the university students that really have no idea of what work is like. You know, they've been in you know, school their entire lives. You know, they go out there, they get jobs within these internships for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months, whatever, and it gives them valuable experience. And that's a great thing. And I love the fact that they're talking about returnships, because you have these women with incredible skills that have maybe been out of the workforce, as you said, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, depending on how long, you know, whether it's one kid, two kids, you know, how often they're able to stay out of the workforce. But they've done amazing things in the meantime. They've run, you know, parateachers associations. They've volunteered. They've been part of church organizations. They've, you know, there's lots of different things that they've done in terms of organization and being able to, you know, be productive within their world, where they've kept their skills up, but there's things that they're missing because, as you said, the world changes and the world evolves. But these returnships give them the ability to sit there and say, you know what, I think I want to learn more about this, or I don't want to learn a little bit more about this. And it gives them the ability to move forward. So how would somebody get involved? Like, how would somebody, you know, how do you help people find out more about these returnships? Is there information on your website? How do people, you know, first of all, find out about them, and how would somebody first be able to approach a company to find out about these returnships?
Okay, so basically, if you go onto the iRelaunch website, which is Carol Fishman Cohen's website, she actually lists more than 90 returnships all over the world that exist.
Wow.
What is really interesting is that there are big global companies that offer returnships in certain countries, but not in others. For example, SAP offers it in, you know, in Asia and in Australia, but not in in Canada yet. So if anybody on a corporate level or nonprofit organization is interested in contacting me, if they could send me an email to Karen Tischler at emiliespath.ca, that would be wonderful. And also, if anybody would be interested in having me speak or educate further an organization to you know, learn more about opportunities, that would be wonderful. I was looking at the BC Tech Diversity Group listings, and there is an amazing amount of diversity groups available here in BC.
Right.
But truthfully, besides Emily's Path, I have not really seen anything that is directly targeting returning mothers. And to me, that's one thing I feel. There are companies already here, but having talked to, for example, the leader of a German return organization, it seems very much streamlined. She is the head of an umbrella organization, and that umbrella organization, for example, runs six different sub-organizations. And what was really interesting was that it wasn't only, quote-unquote, your typical, you know, how to write a resume, how to practice for an interview, but it was also a specific women's coding company that was associated with that. Because, for example, yesterday I was communicating with people on Quora to kind of basically raise awareness. And people were saying, well, you know, I'm in the tech industry, and if you're out a year or two or three, basically you've lost the ability to compete. And I had the opportunity to be on Gary V's show where he was interviewing Beth Comstock, and I was able to ask a question. And so my question was, how do you convince corporate leaders to hire these women? And so Beth's response was, if you are brilliant once, just because you have left the workforce, that doesn't mean you're no longer brilliant. And Carol Fishman Cohen really keeps emphasizing that from other people's point of view in the workforce, they remember that person like as if it was like, you know, set in stone. They don't necessarily know that person outside of the workforce, but they have all the good memories of what they have accomplished for that organization. So, yeah.
So here's a question for you, because we need to take this from the employer's point of view. Mm-hmm. And how would you, you know, when you're talking to human resources departments, when you're talking to, you know, sales organizations, when you're talking to senior leadership, what are the things that you're able to say or the organizations are able to say to be able to convince these people, you know, that this is a valuable workforce that should not be negated, that should not be overlooked? Because there's a lot of fear there, because you're just sitting there going, say, oh God, I've got all these people I need to retrain. And, you know, I've got all these people that I need to sit there and say, are their skills going to be up to date? Are they, you know, how are they going to integrate back in the workforce? Are they, you know, are we going to be able to keep them long term? There's all sorts of fears. And there's all sorts of costs involved in it. And I'm not, you know, saying that this is a reason not to do it. I'm saying, how do you convince organizations and large organizations that this is a valuable workforce that should not be overlooked, and should, you know, that the gap in the resume should be something that, you know, should be looked at differently rather than the fact is as well, wait a second, you've been out of work for 10 years.
That's a really good question. And so I think on a high level, as you know, the Western countries are aging. For example, Angela Merkel in Germany realized that because of the birth rate shrinking, it was really important to find another aspect of the workforce to help, you know, ultimately continue with the economy. And so she actually took a very active part, or, you know, to fund organizations like that. So in Germany, for example, these organizations are not only funded by the city, but they are also funded by the federal Department of Labor, as well as by the European Social Fund. So to your point, I think it is very important to, in a way, start top down from a societal change to make people understand how critical it is. When you look at Sweden, you know, you have now like the latte dads, because it is basically compulsory that dads leave work when the baby is born for a certain period of time as well. And it really changes the mindset. As far as now looking on a more micro level for the companies, Boston Consulting Group has done some studies that basically shows by having a more diverse and a more inclusive workforce, it will create in the long run actually, you know, financial benefits, because it is a more creative way of thinking at things, because, you know, there are a broader mindset of people trying to solve problems. So, and then the other thing is really, when I was talking to people, Julianne Miles in England, who is the leader of Women Returners, what she said to me was also, you really, you know, you should need to start small, and you, you know, you can't like go from 0 to 180. You know, you start with examples where you integrate a person and it is a good fit. And that's how you build
small successes. You know, build on small successes. It's exactly. You know, it's how a lot of things are done. You test and reiterate and evaluate and move forward. It's a great, you know, it's a great thought process.
Right. And for example, in Germany, when I was talking to the leader there, they felt that the competition to the new graduates or, you know, people who had been in the workforce maybe for 5 or 10 years after they graduated in the bigger organizations was too big. So they actually deliberately focused on small and medium-sized organizations. And just like in England, they had good successes. It was word of mouth. And they've now done it for more than 10 years or close to 10 years. And they have been able to successfully reintegrate more than 4,000 women. And on average, these women had been out of the workforce for 8 years. And in addition to that, they have created now an internal a job market so that smaller and medium-sized companies will actively contact them and say, we have this position available if you, you know, would like to broadcast that within your returners community. And I think one big thing that has worked really well in Germany is that it's a more flexible work time model than maybe it is currently in North America. And not only do the...
What do you mean by that?
Right. So, for example, somebody might be working, quote-unquote, full-time, but that full-time model might allow them to leave, let's say, at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon to pick up their children from school and then work at home for the, you know, 2 or 3 more hours. And that is an like acceptable model, and it is not in a position that might be deemed not as, you know, high level.
So here's a question for you. Yeah. And I'm going to say this, and you know, you've gotten to the point where, you know, there's incentives. And that's the big question is does this work? And I'm going to get you to ask her that question before, but you know, people need to know what are the dollars and cents? Cause I think that there is economic benefit of doing that, of allowing people to be more flexible in their timing. You know, if you schedule everybody from 9 to 5, you know, first of all, you have people that, you know, some people work later, are better, more productive later in the day. Some people are more productive earlier in the day. And, you know, and there's a lot of things that go along with that. But how do you convince companies, you know, is there statistics? Is there things that you could sit there and say, you know, the question on the screen is, can you entrust employee to do the work at home? Is there statistics that sit there and say, you know what, if I allow my employee to come in at 9 o'clock, they work till 1:30. They pick up the kids. They, you know, we know that they're by 4 o'clock. They're going to be back online. You know, they're going to, you know, maybe they'll work for an hour and a half. They'll make dinner, and then they'll work till 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Is there ways to be able to confirm that these people actually are doing their jobs and they're actually going to, you know, go ahead? Because a lot of it is stutter and stop. You know, especially with the kids back at home. You know, if your kids are 13, 14, 15 years old, you're going to still need to pay attention to them when they're at home. So the question that employers are going to have is, how does this work to be more effective? Or are we better off to say, listen, we'll hire these women part-time from 9 to 1, 5 days a week, you know, and be able to give them 20 hours a week. We'll give them a half-time job and hire 2 people to do this job in a half-time position. But, you know, we know that they're going to be at work and they're going to actually be productive. Because that's a scare that most companies are going to have. Right. Are they getting the bang for their buck?
Right. So I think that's why, like, let's say if in the beginning, like, a returnship is a too complicated or too big of a model to start off with, and you start off with a person or 2 people, you know, one possibility is to have a kind of, you know, let's make it 2 or 3 months program where you try it out to see if that works for both parties. Right. I talked to somebody in England who is running a particular job search company that specializes in part-time jobs for job sharing purposes. And so she actually teaches the different organizations, you know, how that works. So, for example, if they share day. So like say person A comes in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then person B might also come in on Wednesday and then Thursday, Friday. Will that be somewhat more expensive than having one person? Absolutely. But there might be also benefits by having the overlap, you know, if there, if.
But if a senior level, if you need a senior level person, if you're hiring this person to be more than just, you know, and I don't mean to negate the fact more than just a secretary, that's not what I'm saying. But if these people were senior level managers, mm-hmm. and they want to go back to being senior level managers, mm-hmm. you know, people have the expectation that that is a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday and not a half-time shared position. How do you convince people of the fact that, you know, if I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to bring you back at a level where you were and give you the responsibility of where you were, how can I justify bringing you in as a part-time employee? And that's, you know, and those are the things that I sit there and say, you know, I'm sure there's a workaround for this. I'm sure there's ways of doing it. My question is, how do you convince employers of that? That you know, when they're looking at two candidates and I said, you know what, I've got one person who's ready to go 9-to-5 or 9-to-6, Monday to Friday, they're ready to go. And then I've got this other person who, yeah, they've got 15 years of experience, but they were away for 10 years. You know, they're going to have to go back to their family. They only want to work 6 hours a day. How can I convince myself and my HR people, my senior management, to take the second person versus the first?
I think that is a really good question. And one of the benefits of the returning mothers are that they are extremely loyal. They are very Perfect. Eager to work. And also because they have had kids, they are very unlikely to be moving, or their respective partner might be moving. So they're very stable. They are likely not going to plan, after all the training efforts put into them, to necessarily, you know, job hop every 2 years.
Right. So, and that's what I wanted to hear. That's the kind of answer that I was looking for. Because right. you're right. I mean, we live in a society where, you know, if you look at a lot of resumes and you look at a lot of LinkedIn profiles, every 18 to 24 months, you see the person, you know, working for a different company with a different title. And I find that people that are coming back to work, you're right, they've already done their job up there. They're looking for somewhere where they can be comfortable, somewhere where they can work long term. They're looking somewhere that they can be loyal to, and they can build, you know, they can build a second career that's going to take them to retirement. They're not looking for that, you know, that that advancement that's going to take them working, jumping from company to company to company. They want to, for the most part, if they're treated well and they're respected and they're given the value, they're going to stay with that company. They're going to be loyal and they're going to be way more productive in the long term.
Yes. And so one example that Carol Fishman Cohen likes to give, and she interviewed her, is the Supreme Court, the former Supreme Court Judge Sandra Day O'Connor. And
yep.
I'm sure most people know her. However, they probably would not necessarily have known that she was actually a stay-at-home mom for 5 years before she went back to work.
And, you know, and those are great things to bring up, is that there is the ability, you know, the world needs to be more flexible. The world needs to look at employees and under the situations that they are, and look at people for the value that they can provide long term to corporations. And I think that, you know, in a world where resumes are being scanned by bots and it's all about keyword search, and, you know, 95% of, you know, the people are going to be, you know, dismissed before a human being even gets a chance to look at a resume, we need to be able to put people in a position where they're differentiated and where they can sit there and say, this is my value. You know, this is where I'm valuable. And you're right, it's scary for the women going back to work, because they're, a lot of the time they're sitting there going, well, what is my value? And I think that groups like yours are valuable because you're going to help these people get their confidence, understand that they are valuable, understand that they do have, you know, things that they can, you know, provide to corporations and experience that they have that makes them somebody worth employing and employing long term and in positions where they can have some authority. And I think that these are important things that companies need to look at. And I thank you for doing that. Now, I've got one last question for you, and I'm going to let you go. The question I ask everybody as I send them out the door is, when you're not in the room and when you walk away, what do you want people to think about you and your organization when you're not there?
That I helped them, that they feel that I was kind and that I was honest.
You know, and those are great things. I mean, I'm gonna make sure that we put all of your information out there so people can get access to that information. Garen, I thank you for all the hard work that you do. I thank you for all your efforts and the fact that you're out there making a difference for people. And I think that that's an incredible thing. Now, I'll put you back on mute. It says I'm gonna say goodbye to you for now. We're going to go to commercial break, and I'm going to be back and wrap up with everybody, and then we'll call it a show.
Thank you so much, Ben, for having me. Goodbye.
Thanks, Garrett.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand Live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
I thank you guys all very much for listening to this show. It's Ben Baker coming to you live on K4HD. You know, Karen was an amazing guest. I really want to unpack a couple of things of what she talked about, because the audience that she supports provides incredible, incredible depth of knowledge to corporations. You know, they've been in the workforce. They had high level positions. They came back. They raised a family. Now they're coming back and they have experience. And experience trumps a lot of things. You can learn the hard skills. The world gets up to the hard skills and the soft skills. And guess what? When it comes to programming, when it comes to technology, when it comes to everything, those are skills that can be relearned. Those are skills that can be augmented, and you can hire somebody and you can send them on a course, and if they're diligent and they're smart and they're organized, they can learn pretty much anything. I used to have a saying when I had salesmen that sales is sales and product knowledge is 2 weeks. If you can hire a great salesperson, if they're empathetic, if they're willing to listen, if they're willing to be, you know, extrapolate and think on their feet and understand people and care about people, they can learn your particular product within a number of weeks. It's not the hard skills. And, you know, being a programmer is important. Yes, you need technical skills to be a programmer, to be a lawyer, to be a doctor, to be any of those things. Absolutely, you need to do those things. But these people already were all those things. They already had those skills. They've already gone to school. They've already got the basis of their education. You know, the skill set doesn't change that much. You know, the language may do. You're not in Fortran anymore. You may not be in C++ anymore. You may be using a different language. But you know what? You understand the basics and the premise of how to program, and it's now learning the new up-to-date technology. But the more you can sit there and hire people that are empathetic, that can think on their feet, that can sit there and say, you know what, I've got a world of experience that I've looked at both inside the workforce and outside the workforce, and I can sit there going, you know what, the people that we're trying to influence, the people that we're trying to talk to, think this way because I've been there. I've been one of them. I understand them. That makes these people far more valuable. And it, the tapestry of life is something that, you know, in business is certainly being to be forgotten about. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to a point where people think of people as people. And we work human to human. As we become a far more technological society, we need to understand behind everything are people. We're solving real world problems for people. People have headaches. People have issues that they need to deal with. And it takes real people to understand that. Artificial intelligence will take us so far. Virtual reality will take us so far. You know, machine learning will take us so far. But we need to understand it's the people that are programming all those. If they're not empathetic, if they're not thinking about who is the person that I'm programming this for, who are the people that we're trying to solve the problem for, how do they think, how do they react, what do they need? And if you're not building that into your programming, it's going to fail. You know, if all you're worried about is the technology and the bottom line, and we're going to come up with a technological solution that doesn't have the human factor involved, you're in trouble. You know, you're in serious trouble. And I think that by hiring people that have a tapestry of life, whether it's men coming back to work, whether it's women coming back to work, I think these are people that have life skills. And you know what? The millennials can learn from these people, and you know, people coming back to work can learn from the millennials. Having multiple generations in the workforce is incredible because they can teach each other different things. The young people have, you know, the most up-to-date technology, the most up-to-date information. They've just come out of school. They're young. They're eager. They have a lot of information at their fingertips. And you know what? God love them. They're great, and you got to have them in the workforce. But having people that actually have 15, 20, 25, 30 years of life experience, that have kids, that have had parents that have died, that have parents that are sick, you know, and understand the things that go on in life outside of a business and what the business goals are trying to solve, that's valuable too. So the more we can work together, the better off we are. So, you know, Emily's Path, you know, take a look at the website, take a look at what, you know, Karen has to say, take a look at the organizations that she mentioned, you know, and as a large corporation, even as a medium sized or a small corporation, think about internships, think about bringing these people in, give them the tools to be able to succeed. Because if we can do that, you know, I think as companies, we're going to be better off. We're going to be more productive. We're going to be better. And I think we're going to be able to serve a larger, more varied population. And you know what? We're going to make more money. You know, in the end, there is profit in doing this. Because what you're doing is you're building a far more loyal audience. So once again, my name is Ben Baker. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. I love having you on here. Have a look at the show site. It's www.yourlivingbrand.live. You know, there's information there about my new mastermind. I'd love to have you guys join us. We're starting on January 31st. And there's going to be this recording and all the future recordings will be there. So send me a question, interact with me, tell me what you like, tell me what you hated, tell me what you want to hear about. I'd love to have you there. Thanks a lot and have a great week.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the Your Living Brand Live show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story? Hey, hey, hey.